God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Because we believe we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View on American Family Radio, where we have an audience of one, that's God, and a family of many, and that's you. What happened in Boulder, Colorado? A man deciding to set other human beings on fire. It was something I did not become aware of until I woke in the morning on Monday. Sunday, I went on a beautiful hike with a friend of mine and his little boy, and it was up into the mountains of North Idaho. And that hike is about 4,000 feet. We tried to get up in 2 hours, but ended up tending to his little boy, and took us a little longer. But we got a gift. We got to be on top of a mountain looking at God's creatures, some mountain goats. And they didn't mind how close we got to them, and to see their fur, to be able to smell them, to watch a couple of them tussle. And we were on a place called Scotsman Peak, with views just amazing of the lakes. It's around Sandpoint, Idaho. And I got home with a dead phone battery and a wife and myself anxious to spend time together. And we got into a new bed we bought. We had made here in Idaho. Just a beautiful, beautiful gift God purchased for us. Woke up in the morning and tried to get up at 3:30 like I normally do for the gym. It was not going to happen. Despite some caffeine, I went back to sleep. And woke peacefully. Beautiful morning, quiet with the turkey outside gobbling and a couple of the songbirds singing. And then I opened my computer. And my shock can't be anything like the shock of the people to whom this was done. To kill another, to murder, of course, is a sin. And it is something God had designed us to never have to live through. To never witness, to never do to one another. The very ground calls out. When human blood is shed by other human beings, God said that, said it in Genesis. And this attack, of course, is also political and religious and above all spiritual. Satan hates the Jewish people. He hates Israel. And it's really just pass-through hate. I mean, truly, Satan is such a vile being that he has indifference, in a way, to humankind. He hates us, but only because he hates God. We're a pass-through entity. He looks at us as something in the way, someone, things given bodies he never had, made in God's image, and it infuriates the prince of arrogance, the prince of the air and arrogance. So there's obviously this. This was an attack on a group that does runs to recognize the hostages Hamas took on October 7th and to demand their release. And what this man did was to go commit as much terror as he could. Burning alive is one of the biggest fears of human beings. It's one of the worst possible ways to imagine dying, and it's one of the worst ways to die. And there's not, quote, just the death. There's other people injured. 8 people, ages 52 to 88, and as I'm sitting down to talk about this, I'm aware of one who has passed. And then, of course, there are the details. This will be the only time I say his name because people like this, I think, seek notoriety. His name is Mohammed Sabri Solomon. And there's a whole list of charges that they've piled onto this guy, and they should pile more on, and this is very definitely terrorism. Assistant FBI Director Dan Bongino said it's an ideologically motivated attack. It's terrorism, Dan, is what it is. Now, perhaps Dan is going to be more responsible than other people within the FBI who would have already immediately come out and said, though there's no sign of terror, it was just a crazed man. Definitely ideological. So some of the charges was murder, in the first degree, deliberation with intent, murder in the first degree, I said that, extreme indifference, crimes against at-risk adults and the elderly, first degree assault, non-family, first degree assault, heat of passion, criminal attempt to commit class one and class two felonies, and use of explosives or incendiary devices during the felony. Oh, and then there's this. He's an Egyptian in our country illegally. You can add this to the list of attacks that should not have happened because he shouldn't have been here. And a nation serious about its borders would see that attacks like this are rare. And in point of mathematical fact, they're rare. But in point of obvious increase over the past 5 or 6 years, they're becoming less and less rare. The ideological left has an assassination problem. They have a happiness about assassination problem. They have now this murder problem. And still to this day and to this moment, violence political is by the Mockingbird media and academics considered to be a so-called right-wing issue. And let's just compare some things here. So this now murderer who decided to burn people to death, do you think he's in favor of the Christian God? In other words, God, the only God? No, given his name and where he's come from and this motive for this attack, apparent motive, he stands with the false God of Islam, Muhammad. And this comes how long after the events of Seattle, where the mayor of that city announced that that city stands adverse to Jesus Christ by policy? The policies of Seattle stand adverse to the God of the Bible? Now, gladly, in Seattle, no one was killed this time. But understand this as well. There's a through line. The events in Seattle are a combination of intersectional politics that Satan has built within an army of rage. In Seattle, the protests were about a Christian group going to sing praise songs and praying for kids that they not be chemically and surgically mutilated like they were in Babylon. Not with an attempt to change their gender, such a thought was ridiculous then. It's ridiculous now. But with an attempt to control and to serve up young boys for the pleasure of men, and young women for that matter, young girls turned into concubines for the pleasure of men. And here in the United States, they're still now chemically and surgically mutilating kids for the pleasure of farmer, for the pleasure of adults. So a pastor and his church stood to that and simply sang praise songs and prayers and were attacked for that. And there's a through line. The through line is America is becoming ground central for the spiritual war. America. Now, Satan hates Israel, but it's a pass-through hate. If Satan can destroy Israel and destroy the Jewish people and end them, he's made God a liar. He won't succeed, but he's well aware of the special covenant, but he's also well aware of something else. A strong United States, a United States based in a core value, a core series of Christian values, as it has been for its entire history, largely a Christian nation. I didn't say a Christian government. I didn't say a theocracy. You cannot have a true Christian theocracy that forces people to follow the faith or litmus tests. You can't, because Jesus Christ never did that. Jesus could have turned everybody into a Christian. He could have done it with the wink of an eye. He could have done it with the waving of a hand. He could have done it with miracles so intense and so frightening that he could have said, hey, you want to see gates of Hades? I'll open them for you. Look there. There's hell. Take a look. Or there's me. Here's the Father. And he could have done all these things, manifested it for people. He didn't. He left choice. The United States, with a people choosing God Almighty, with people electing people who choose God Almighty, has been Satan's nightmare. And bit by bit by bit, there's then this cracking, and it is accelerating. And it's accelerating in two ways. there are people becoming more faithful. And attacks like this will help some people make a decision for Christ. The devil could never see these things. He can't invent. He can't have joy. He can't laugh. He can't have any of these things. He can distract. He can depress. He can distort. But he cannot invent. He cannot inspire. He can fool. He can con. He can make people spiritually blind. He can drive rage. He can drive jealousy and coveting. He could arrange events in that way, see them coming. But what he can't do is cancel out God's word. And there is a covenant here. Some of the first settlers to this nation covenanted this land in the name of the God of the Bible. And I believe that we can make a covenant with God. He never breaks his. God has never broken a covenant. He can't. He is truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. But our nation is bit by bit by bit, half to maybe three quarters, breaking the covenant. So this attack in Boulder, yes, an illegal immigrant. Yes, in our country against our laws. But had he been caught prior to this, for instance, had ICE caught him and pointed out that he's in the country illegally, what would the Democrat Party have done? They would have argued for his release. They would have argued that he should be free. He hadn't had due process. He needs 15 years of court hearings. He's now basically a citizen. In other words, they would align themselves with a man here to commit grievous acts of evil because they're trapped. Satan has trapped the power structure of the left into ideologies that stand against Christ. You saw it in Seattle. Bruce Harrell, the mayor there, admitted it. The Democrat Party is pro-Islam, anti-Christ. They're anti-Israel to a large degree. They are pro-child mutilation. They are pro-breaking up families. They've not criticized the kidnapping states of California, Oregon, Washington. They don't criticize that. Of course they're pro-abortion at industrial scale at any time. It is not an exaggeration to say there are Democrats, well thought of, who have floated the idea that parents should be able to withhold food and water from a child for the first 3 months of life, out of the womb. Because if they come to regret it, having the child, they should be able to let the child die. They stand with that. They stand with MS-13 and Trent D'Argua, who are every bit as violent as the man that they have caught in Colorado. Every bit. Yes, he went to burn people to death, to attack them. It's clearly terrorism, in my mind. Trent D'Argua and MS-13 commit acts of terror to defend their business turf. And the Democrats stand aligned with that. The Democrats stand aligned with forcing people to get injected with concoctions that cannot help them. Oh, yes, and I know Robert F. Kennedy is going to make sure all the vaccine trials have a placebo, except he's not. There's no placebo testing in the new Moderna vaccine. Interesting that. So the Democrats have aligned themselves with every possible policy that God abhors. Well, the Republicans, to a large degree, well, they talk a good game. I wonder if they're praying a good game. We'll come back on A Disciple's View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get next segment to personal notes, tower babbling, and the cleanup item or two. I don't remember. We'll get to that. I have to be very careful in how I describe this, and I want to be very respectful. And I'm not going to use any language. Let's say it this way. Parental advisory. I'm not going to use any horrible language. Obviously, we don't do that here. We have an audience of one that's God Almighty and a family of listeners. And your donations, tax deductible, are the reason we get to do this. So we're very careful to steward because we don't want to offend God primarily. And secondarily, because we're all here for that. And if you've tuned in by accident to AFR, welcome. We're about to talk about some news from a godly perspective, because as Christians, we're called to be in the world and not of it. So I'm going to be careful, but this is, I think, important to have this discussion. Do you know who Glenn Greenwald is? So Glenn is an independent journalist, truly independent. He is a little bit left-leaning, probably, but he has absolutely no issues calling out the people who run Joe Biden or the people who ran him, calling out President Trump and his team. He has made a specialty of exposing the abuses of the intelligence services. And Glenn was one of the first people to really grow to understand and have access to information into how the intelligence services of the United States were abusing our citizens and us, and how this is being done worldwide. He was key to the Edward Snowden material. And this is something that brought Greenwald to notice. He helped found a news organization that was going to be all about independent journalism. And then when he began to write about the Hunter Biden laptop, his partners kicked him out of that. They kicked him out of the organization. And I'm not saying its name on purpose, because it doesn't deserve to have it said. So Greenwald now has a very, very highly viewed Twitter program on Twitter-X and on other platforms. He is as knowledgeable about the abuse of power and the corruption of the intelligence services as anyone working today, or maybe ever. He's that good, which makes it really horrible for me to tell you about a video that someone stole. This is what Greenwald says. Glenn says someone stole this video. And it's a video of Glenn Greenwald involved in sexual activity that is inarguably of a demeaning nature. And in this video, Glenn is choosing to be utterly defiled in ways that I couldn't get through 10, 15 seconds, because it sickened me. And I didn't even see any nudity. But what I saw was a man choosing to be treated worse than a dog, in terms of someone who would abuse a dog. And it deeply saddens me. And we're called to be in the world and not of it. And so this is a really tough conversation. If you affirm sex acts such as fornication, adultery, same-sex behaviors that the Bible does not allow, or rather affirm, because we do have free will, against which the Bible warns, and God says, do not do. If you ignore that, you have no grounds to criticize what Greenwald allowed to be done to himself, other than to say, I don't like it. You can say, I consider it demeaning, as I do. And then Glenn Greenwald can say, I don't. I enjoy it. I don't think it's demeaning. So there's that whole phrase that when nothing is forbidden, all is allowed. When nothing is demeaning, when nothing is ungodly, then it's just between these two people. And that's Greenwald's point. Like, we weren't harming anybody. Well, except yourselves. And Glenn put out a statement, and out of fairness and honestly professional respect for Glenn, I'm going to read it. He wrote, last night, videos were released online depicting behavior in my private life. Some were distorted and others not. They were published without my knowledge or consent, and its publication was therefore criminal. Though we do not yet know exactly who's responsible, we are close to knowing, and the motive was maliciously a political one. As for the content of the videos, I have no embarrassment or regret about them. The videos depict consenting adults engaged in intimate actions in their private lives. They all display fully consensual behavior, harming nobody. Obviously, it can be uncomfortable and unpleasant when your private behavior is made public against your will. That's why the behavior is private in the first place. But the only wrongdoing here is the criminal malicious publication of the videos in an attempt to malign perceived political enemies and advance a political agenda. Of course, others are, of course, free to form their own judgment, as some are prone to do about others' private lives. It won't change my work. I will continue all the many prongs of my journalism and pursue the causes most important to me exactly as before. With respect, and I mean it, with respect to Glenn as a professional, please do continue your work. But you have kids. You and your former life partner, whom you refer to as your husband, you have kids. He has passed, but you have kids. Your kids will see this one day. They'll hear about it. And that you choose, apparently, because you say some of these videos are distorted, Glenn Greenwald, independent journalist, is whom I'm speaking to, and they're going to see their father choosing to be demeaned. And what I watched was gross. And incidentally, unhealthy. I mean, physically unhealthy. So to bridge from this, because this segment's about being in the world and not of it, we really would do well to understand how Satan is using human sexuality in the oldest ways, all documented throughout the Bible, all the instances of, they're horrible to read. I've grown to love the Old Testament, but I still really have problems reading passages where God tells the Jewish people to utterly destroy another tribe of people, utterly destroy them, leave no one alive. And I understand this now as I've matured as a Christian, that God was saying, these people intend to seduce you into worshiping their false gods and into being involved in their perverse and horrible ceremonies. And they won't stop pursuing you and trying to seduce you and your families into this. And so utterly decimate them. And God warned people. I mean, he warned these tribes, don't attack the Jewish people. And don't try to pervert them. So these are some very old things. And there's a very old demon called the Enchantress. I mean, all the demons are old, but there's a biblical age demon called the Enchantress. And the Enchantress pretends, lies, that particular lie of this demon is that the Enchantress can make you neither male nor female. So again, where nothing is forbidden, all is allowed. And this is a man speaking in this video, recording from his car. I'm not tying this to so-called race. I just want to be descriptive. He happens to be a young Asian-looking man who's doing everything he can to pretend to be a woman And in this video, because it can be hard to understand the phraseology, what he's saying is that he is really angry that there are men who will not be in relationships with him, who will not have sexual encounters with him, because he is a man. And these men are same-sex attracted. And incidentally, of course, they're not talking marriage here. So he is falling apart emotionally as he makes this video.
This is to all my trans women out there that you know that we deserve love, that we deserve that such a pure love because we love so hard. And if you feel in your soul that man is not working, listen to it. Listen to it. Protect yourself. These men aren't they're not. I am so sick and tired of nurturing these broken men who literally have nothing to offer but stress and heartache. I am done. We may not be able to give you a biological baby, but no matter what, the love that we give to certain people in our lives will fulfill that more than blood. Because you know why? Our community has proven that time and time again. I don't need a man who is basing love on science. And for that, I am done.
I don't need a man who's basing love off of science, meaning, in other words, men who base who they have sex with upon the biological sex of the person. And it's hard to hear because we had to bleep out a bunch. But what that man pretending to be a woman said was, I don't care that we can't give you biological babies. Our love is better than blood. Are you able to see that as less than demonic? What's been done to this man? Yes, I'm sure there's mental illness. And there's been a tragic confluence of mental illness with the demonic. And this man saying we deserve love. You are loved. To be blunt, I'm disgusted by the video because of what you say, but I love you. Because God loved me while I was far from God. God loved us first. And your sin is no greater than sins I've committed. I think your confusion is greater. See, but that's just some guy venting. Some guy who's probably riddled with demons venting. And deeply confused. Because when he's talking there about love, he's not talking about the biblical form of love, of course. And I don't just mean the four forms of love. I mean patience, charity, long-suffering, kindness, not keeping lists of grievances, being neither proud nor angry. You know what I'm talking about. He's talking about sex acts. One of the great grifts of the devil is to con people into believing sex is love and love is sex. And you can't have one without the other. Sex is love, in the words of the devil, one of his lies. But see, that's just a random person. It's not like this person has a lot of influence. Michelle Obama does have a lot of influence. Michelle Obama talked about the female body. And I invite you to hear what the former first lady said about the female body, as we're being in the world and not of it.
Because so many men have no idea about what women go through, right? We haven't been researched. We haven't been considered. And it still affects the way a lot of male lawmakers, a lot of male politicians, a lot of male religious leaders think about the issue of choice as if it's just about the fetus, the baby, but women's reproductive health is about our life. It's about this whole complicated reproductive system that does the least of what it does is produce life. It's a very important thing that it does.
The least important thing about the female reproductive system is that it produces life. That is upside down and reverse in every possible way. None of the other seemingly miraculous, I view it as miraculous. I think God doesn't. It's just, no, this is just my work. None of the other seemingly miraculous aspects of the female body can exist without the most miraculous, which is that it can create life, but only in partnership with the male sperm. And in God's design, only in the auspices of one man and one woman joined in marital union to create a family unit that is a replication, in a way, of the family unit God created. Different means, but just as must be just as well stewarded and respected and loved. It's a long segment. A lot we covered. What's the through line? Abide. It means to live with. Abide like abode. Abide with the Lord your God, with Jesus. And you're going to be a lot harder to con and do these things. We'll come back on the Disciples View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Coming up, we'll get to the Tower Babbling and a personal note. Just a quick cleanup item here. I've said many times to people who live in what they think are red states that you better be careful because the left is always marching. Satan's always on the march. He's chosen a political party to own in whole. The Republicans are yawning into the abyss, but the Democrats are pushing towards eternal abyss. And in the state of Texas, there's been a whole series of bizarre liberal decisions coming from the Texas state legislature. And I hope that Greg Abbott's going to start vetoing some of this stuff. Now, this is not that. It is an example, though, of how the left is always on the march. This is a Texas state representative questioning a witness. And incidentally, she's a terrible questioner of witnesses because she's asking questions to which she doesn't know the answer. And the number one rule of cross-examining anybody from Black's Law is never ask a question to which you do not know the answer. So she's making the case for segregated schools. And she happens to be a Black woman making the case for segregated schools.
Would you agree that research shows that students learn better from people who look like them?
No, I don't agree with that research.
Okay, so you don't agree with that research?
No.
So you're a professional?
Because I'll tell you flat out, my son Landry, who just finished fourth grade, had his best teacher. We've had some amazing teachers that look like him. His best teacher ever was this year, and she was Hispanic and looked different than him. And so, no, I do not agree that a student needs a teacher who looks like him or her in order to be an effective teacher.
But you are aware of that research. Even though you may not agree with it, you are aware of it.
I strongly disagree with
I agree. You disagree with it, but you are aware of it.
Yeah, I'm also aware of research that suggests the complete opposite.
That the other question that I...
So she's building up to making this case that Black kids should only be taught by Black teachers. If you would like to create a world where people are uncomfortable around people of the other race, do that. Demonstrate to kids that they're unsafe mentally and intellectually around white teachers. And you'll get racism. You'll get a lot of it. And I know it's anecdotal, but I can tell you that my first teacher that I really remember who made an impact on me, this is unfair because I can't remember a kindergarten teacher's name who did, was a woman named Mrs. Caldwell. She was in her 70s and red hair, didn't look a bit like me. I was a young boy, 12. I can think of Tony Benson, who was a great football coach, made a big impact on me, happened to be a Black football coach. I can think of Mrs. Goldberg, my art teacher, a very, very Jewish woman, a proudly Jewish woman from New York who spoke with a New York accent. And I grew up in Spokane, Washington, and I had to ask my mom, why does she talk that way? It's because she's from New York. Oh, okay, so Jewish people don't talk that way. Some do. The sin of racism isn't going anywhere, particularly when you choose to make it a virtue. On this program, though it's difficult sometimes, given state legislators like that, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand, with our feature called the Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him...
The Tower of Babel.
Three sound bites in today's Tower of Babel. Luzerne County student gave a very emotional speech at the Kentucky Capitol recounting a mass shooting. Really, really frightening stuff. However...
He had to walk past that spot where I saw my best friend. Right, and pretend it was all normal. It was not normal. Folks, that's been 8 years, and I've been talking about this every single day since then for 8 years. 8 years of talking about this, and there's been nothing that's changed.
Yeah, I mean, horrific that he had to live through a shooting at his school, a mass shooting at Dallas High School, which he said killed his best friend, brother, and 9 others. That never happened. That never once happened. He made the whole thing up. Why? One can only wonder. Because notoriety is important, because video views are important, because Instagram is important, because he wants so deeply to be part of something bigger than himself. And when you choose to try to do that absent God, you can end up with some pretty bizarre ways to be part of something bigger than yourself. And there are people who get famous and they continue to say things that are absurd. This is Nicole Wallace, a so-called journalist, and she has an interesting claim about who commits political violence.
The permission structure for violence. You've got polls about political violence. Democrats don't think it's a good idea. Only Republicans. Only people inclined to consume conservative media are now, I think, upward of 50% say that if necessary, violence is okay. You've only got the conduct on one of the two sides.
My goodness. Do I need to go through all the cases of left-leaning violence and the fact that 30% of Democrats think President Trump should be assassinated? Do we really need to go through this? The polls in favor of the guy who killed the CEO of United, which calls itself a healthcare company? Fascinating that they can believe this. This is why we call it the Tower of Babel. MSNBC host Jen Psaki changed her mind on whether or not presidents should be given grace for taking breaks.
You are president no matter where you are. He will conduct his work from wherever he is, on any vacation, on any time he is in Delaware, at Camp David, or wherever he may be spending time with his loved ones.
However, there is at least one person who is generally not afforded the privilege of personal time. And that person is the president of the United States.
She's talking about Trump there, of course, and that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Everybody knows I like kids better than people.
On a Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, among the many privileges I've had in life, and I do not actually believe in white privileges, one of the many, many privileges I've had in life is being humbled in unique ways. And being humbled in some ways that don't happen any longer. There's not this form of humbling. And I was just chatting with a young man who works with me on my podcast. He used to work at the Daily Wire. And he'd sent me an article. And it's about this case we talked about earlier in Washington State. This man who pretends to be a woman. And he has no interest in surgeries or hormones. He's forced his way into a North Korean spa. Some judges now say that the women have to let him into the spa, bathing with them naked and leering at them because he pretends to be a woman. And I was just joking with Spencer, and I'd said, Thanks for sending this. Being a godly man is hard. I keep looking for a biblical loophole that allows redneck justice. I can't find it, LOL. And Spencer wrote back to me and said, vengeance is mine, thus says the Lord. Hard pill to swallow sometimes. It is. It is. And when I look at cases like that, I admit I get up in my flesh. But one of the many privileges I had was growing up in a time where men sometimes dealt with uppity boys and did it quick. And I know that's a weird thing to count as a privilege, because I do not think that godly men go about beating boys or hitting them, but humbling them. Yeah, praise God for that. I had a friend of mine, he was actually my dad's friend. Big man. I can still picture how large he was. And not a fat man. He was a thick man, we'd say. Tall. And he always wore overalls. I'm not always, but I all my memories of him are in overalls. And his name was Lyle. And we got invited to his home one day. We raced cars together. His kids raced quarter midgets in my dad's club. My dad founded, and I was one of the driving trainers. I'd done it since I was 7. So I was probably 14 or 15 when this incident occurred. It was just before I began driving. So we were at Lyle's house, and we were watching football, I think was the occasion, some big, probably a Washington State Cougars game. And Lyle had a weight set in his basement. And one of the old-fashioned weight sets with the smaller weights, not Olympic weights. And it had a bench press set up, and I asked him how much he could lift on it. And he said, oh, just about that. And I said, oh, well, can I try it? Yeah, sure. He goes, careful, that's heavy. Well, I knew I could lift that. I don't remember how many times, but a bunch of times. And I guess at that time, I'd been training weights for 3 years, and casually. And I think by the time I was 14 or 15, I was in a weight room because I was wrestling and playing football. And there's something about youth, by the way. There is something about having that, you know, testosterone beginning to become a factor when you're 15, and your HGH levels are super high, so you recover really quick. Because there's something about youth. So I lifted it a bunch of times, and Lyle said, hey, that's pretty good. And internally, I was thinking, yeah, because you said it was heavy. I was being prideful internally. So Lyle invited me to earn some money. And he said, hey, you're strong. Would you like to earn some money this weekend? Yeah. Doing what? He said, well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to go out into my fields and start gathering my alfalfa bales. Now, I'd done that work before. I had gathered alfalfa bales at a friend of mine's, his grandfather's farm. So I was not unfamiliar with it. Yeah, man, I'd love that. And he agreed to pay me. I don't remember how much, but I remember my dad, when we were leaving, saying, that's good money, Lyle's paying you. That's really good money. So I showed up on Saturday morning, and my mom dropped me off early. It was, farm hours, 6 o'clock in the morning or something. So we went out into the field, and Lyle said, hey, let me show you how I toss these. And while I was a prideful kid, I was also raised to be respectful of adults. So I listened, I think politely, and watched that man pick up a massive alfalfa bale and toss it onto the trailer bed. Toss it. Now, what he did, now that I know weightlifting, is that he actually cleaned it, lifted it up, cleaned it, and effectively did a clean and jerk and threw it on there. Now, he didn't do that the whole day. He was showing me something. And what he showed me was I was in for a really long work day. So the day began, and Lyle said, let's keep count. Because I gave you an hourly rate. I expect hourly work from you. We didn't talk about the per count. So I'm not going to jip you, short you, but I want you to know what I expect in exchange for my money, if you want to come back and work for me. I expect you to, and I don't remember the number, but I remember him said, I expect to see this many hay bales tossed every half hour. And this is a long work day. He was teaching me something else. Pacing. So I began trying to keep up with Lyle on this. And in my 14 or 15 year old mind, I kept thinking, he's going to tire. At some time, I'm going to catch up with him. And I was doing my best to keep the half hour count. But in my mind, I just kept thinking, he's got to tire. I'm going to catch him. It never happened. I tired long before he did. And it got to this point where I was struggling with my count. And then Lyle came over to me and he said, time for breakfast, second breakfast. So we went into his home and his wife was there and she said, what are you guys doing? You know, are you okay? Is everything okay? And you need water? You know, what do you need? And he goes, oh, we're just going to have second breakfast. And she smiled and she said, okay, I'll whip something up. I realized there was no second breakfast. That man was taking pity on me. He was extending kindness. So we ate this hastily put together second breakfast. We went back out onto the field. And I finished out the day. Now, I think I got near to keeping the half hour count. I think I did. I just don't remember the number of bales that it was. We cleared most of the field. And here's the thing about times like this, when men would humble young boys. He did it kindly. He never mentioned the bench press incidents, praise God. He said this to me, you put in a good day's work, that was honest effort, I'd invite you back anytime to work here. And keep something in mind, Todd. I grew up doing that work. It is what I do to feed my family. I've gained some tricks over the days. And if you ever decide to be a farmer, you'll have those tricks too. So sometimes this is stuff we call farmer strength. I've realized since then, farmer strength trumps. It absolutely trumps weight room strength in every possible capacity. I thank Lyle for that. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word and walk in the path of Jesus Christ and make disciples of all nations, till God gives us permission to speak again together. May His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been a Disciples View.